We're going to take some time for questions.
Yes.
In Isaiah 66, the reference to the place where the fire does not die, or the fire is not extinguished and the worm does not die. In all of the sources we have, that is to Gehenna. That's a reference to Gehenna, not to the lake of fire. Lake of fire only appears one place, and that's in Revelation. I don't know of it anywhere else. Well, that's a great question. She asked if we're going to still be celebrating the feasts. Did you say in the Messianic Kingdom? Yes, absolutely. Let's look at this passage. In Matthew 5, 17. There's so many passages. Once you get your eschatology straightened out in an apostolic eschatology of the difference between Sheol, Messianic era, and world to come. Once we get those things straightened out, there's so much that's just like, oh, that makes a lot more sense now. Okay. All right, so let's try this in 17. Don't imagine that I've come to violate the Torah, the words of the prophets. I have not come to violate, but to fulfill. For amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one yod or one thorn will pass away from the Torah until all has been established. Now, you could read that until heaven and earth pass away to just be a manner of speech, to say that, you know, never. Heaven and earth will never pass away. But what we read is that they do pass away at a certain point. So the idea is that the Torah is valid for this universe. As long as this universe exists, the Torah is valid. But in the world to come, it's not really relevant. It's not really relevant to the world to come. It's in the world to come, we're like angels. You know the story of the giving of the Torah. When Hashem says, I'm going to give the Torah to Israel, and the angels are like, no, you can't give the Torah to Israel. Israel doesn't deserve the Torah. They're filthy, you know, human beings. Leave the Torah up here with us. We're angels. And so Moses is there. He's like, okay, let's see. What does it say here? It says, honor your father and mother. Do you angels have fathers and mothers? And it says, here it says that you're not to covet your neighbor's wife. Do you angels have wives? You know, and he starts going down the list and knocking these things off. And then he proves to the angels that the Torah is not relevant to them. It's only relevant to human beings. And so then they concede and say, okay, you bring the Torah down to Israel. It's in the Midrash. But the point of this, the point of the story that I'm bringing up is that in the world to come, you know, the Torah as we know it, it's not, the Torah is meant for this world. The mystics speak of a supernal Torah, a heavenly Torah, a mystical Torah, of which the Torah that we have is just sort of a distillation meant for this world. But the eternal Torah, which is Hashem's perfect will. Does that help at all? Yeah, in the Messianic age, we'll be keeping the feasts, the Sabbath. In fact, according to Tractate of Avodah Zarah in the Talmud, everyone on earth will be Torah observant in the Messianic era, and even keeping the oral law. Yes. A physicist will tell us that we can't imagine another dimension. We can't imagine another universe. I hear these physicists that talk like this, describing, they compare us to fish living underwater, and how, like, if you're a fish and you're living underwater and that's your whole experience, this sounds like Maimonides, doesn't it? You're a fish and you're underwater, that's your whole experience of reality. You have, you know, these dimensions that you can move in, but outside the water is not a dimension that you can conceive of, like walking around up there. There's a whole world that you don't guess. You know, there's some fish who kind of jump up there for a second, right? You know, and catch it. Those are the mystics, you know, that are hopping up. But the whole scope of the world outside of them is beyond the fish's ability to conceive, you know, because it's beyond anything they've ever known. And so it's the same for us. Outside of this universe, you know, to try to imagine another universe, another existence, is absolutely impossible. And this is, the prophets are so wise and the sages so wise to say, you know, the sages are so wise to say, all the prophets are prophesying for the Messianic era, but in regard to the world to come, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no one can imagine. I mean, that's light years ahead of physics, the understanding of physics. I mean, we didn't get there until Einstein, you know. Yes. The first resurrection occurs at the time of the Master's coming, at the time of the Messiah's coming, after which there's 1,000 years. So, yes, he would be present throughout that 1,000 years. He'd be present in Messianic Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David, fulfilling all of the prophecies that we have in regard to the Messianic era. This is the lost piece. The Messianic era is the last piece. I was speaking about earlier in the first session about how Christianity, after the second century, jettisoned a belief in a literal Messianic era. The reasons for that, for jettisoning it, are complicated. They have a lot to do with the existence of Rome, and they have a lot to do with Christians not wanting Israel to have supremacy over all the nations. So you didn't want to have that, like, no, that's not what it means. What it really means is the church. Period. You know, that's how it is interpreted. But because of that, there's this huge hole in our eschatology. We lost the meaning of the gospel, which was all about the Messianic era. And, you know, it's like everything was connected. It seemed like a harmless piece to remove, but it turned out to be such a critical piece. And then we couldn't understand heaven and hell either. So yeah, we put the Messianic era back in, and the whole machine just comes back to life, and it's great. Yes. Forever is not forever. Forever is as long as the universe endures. Even in those spots in the Torah, he says, he calls heaven and earth as his witnesses. Heaven and earth as witnesses. He says, even in regard to the new covenant, it says, as long as the sun endures and the moon. You know, so these, you know, once you get to the world to come, it's like, we don't know what's going on. I mean, forever lasts for this universe. In the world to come, that would be a different forever. That would be a forever belonging to a different place and a different time. Yes? It's the same. I mean, I'll tell you this. This is my own understanding. This is my own high Christology. My understanding is that, and this I glean from Enoch as well, that Messiah takes his place on the throne as the divine man. So he is the embodiment and representation of Hashem as he takes up the judgment seat at that time. I mean, we've moved outside. At that point, we've moved outside of, right. Heaven and earth have already fled, and... Yes, so that's, we're moving towards that point that Paul speaks about when it says, after God has put everything in subjugation under Messiah, even the Messiah himself must come into subjugation of the one who's put everything in subjugation under him, so that God will be all in all. So we're almost to, as we're coming into that, into the world to come, we're moving into Bayom Hahu Yieh Hashem Echad. All right, that's great. I think we've covered a lot of wild stuff, huh? This is the 8th day, and this is the day we talk about these things here at Beth Emanuel Seth Fellowship. So thanks for coming and joining us.